You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back. Good morning, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. It seems like we're always in a state of perpetual election, but no, we're in the state of Wisconsin, which sort of means the same thing when you think about it. And though we get tired of the ads, we get tired of the calls, and tired of the mailers, it's important to remember that this is how we keep our voices heard. And today I want to highlight two people running for two separate offices, one you may have heard of and one you may not have, but that doesn't matter. You're going to get to know them today anyways. And the first one is David Crowley. He's the county executive for Milwaukee, and recently he made the announcement that he's going to be running for governor next year along some other very prominent names, and he stopped by the Maggie Dawn Show to talk about his campaign, what he has in store for his trip around Wisconsin talking to the voters, and what he brings to the conversation that others may not.
You know, we've been able to tackle a lot of different issues while making sure that we can continue to serve the people of Milwaukee County with the different programs and services they absolutely rely on. Outside the politics that we, in the conversations and the political bickering that happens at the state and federal level, we've had to show up. And, you know, I spent 7 years in the state capitol, so I know exactly how Madison works. And we've gotten things done with the Republican-controlled legislature. And for the past 5 years, I have been running the largest county in the state of Wisconsin, the most populated, most diverse county. I represent close to 1 million people, which is a sixth of our entire state's population. But I also manage one of the largest budgets in Wisconsin with a $1.4 billion budget. And since May of 2020, not only did, you know, we get through the pandemic, some of the most challenging times that many of us have been alive, we've also been able to tackle many of the biggest issues facing our community. We've tackled public safety. We've tackled public health. We've focused on fiscal recovery. We've been able to invest in small businesses and entrepreneurs across Milwaukee County. We've seen more affordable housing being built up in many of our suburban communities. We've made government more accessible through our no wrong door model of approach. We've cut our carbon emissions in half. Oh, and we've been able to deliver the largest property tax cut in Milwaukee County's history. And so I'm entering this race because I know that I'm the only one in this race who not only has legislative experience, but also experience running a government. And I'm the only candidate who's going to be able to deliver on the promises that I'm talking about on this campaign trail, because we've already done it. And so that's why I'm entering this race, to make sure that we can deliver for the people. And I know that folks are looking for a governor for all of us.
Do you feel called to the work, David, if I may? Because what you're describing is many accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And I can hear, and from our conversations, not on live radio, I know how much you care about people and that you actually want to see the results. Do you feel called to step up to try to do that in a larger jurisdiction for the state? Because that's what I'm hearing from you. You know, we were able to do this under incredibly difficult circumstances in Milwaukee County, and you can lead the state to deliver those same kind of results to all Wisconsinites.
You know, when you think about, you know, Governor Tony's tenure, you know, he's been delivering for all of us, you know, with a divided government. He's always said that he was going to do right, you know, by the people and not what was politically convenient. And we need strong executive leadership who's going to bring us to the table. Look, folks are tired of politicians who talk big and deliver small. They're tired of politicians who focus on, you know, culture wars and partisan issues versus delivering real resources going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so I want to be able to show people that there are individuals who are running for office and in office who absolutely care about those they represent. One of my favorite quotes is by Teddy Roosevelt. No one cares what you know until they know how much you care. And so for me, my calling is being able to be there for people, being able to be there at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, just in general, that's what we should be focused on.
Folks, if you're just joining us, that's Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He has formally, officially now, thrown his hat in the ring to become Wisconsin's next governor. You'll see his name on the Wisconsin Democratic primary ticket come the spring. When you stand back and you look at the challenges that are facing the state, Mr. County Executive, what do you see as the top one, two, or three things that would be really first on your agenda to try to accomplish? And let's focus, there are process things that we could talk about, the shared revenue formulas, we could talk about the public education formulas, and maybe you want to go there, but that stuff gets a little wonky, right? But I just mean from the perspective that you were just talking about, regular people issues, the kitchen table type of issues. Yeah. What are the three things that you believe that we need to deliver better on for all Wisconsinites?
Well, I would say the highest priority for all of us to tackle is this affordability crisis that we're all seeing, right? You know, my wife and I, we went grocery shopping and we're seeing the increase in our groceries. We're seeing the increase in our utility bills. I'm talking to folks here throughout the state of Wisconsin, and they're seeing an increase in these rising prices, and they're being squeezed every single day. And we need to figure out how we can provide a little bit of relief. Now, let's point out the elephant in the room. A lot of this, the rising prices, the cost of inflation is happening due to policies that we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C. I mean, we have to be honest about that. But that doesn't mean that we cannot work to make things a little bit affordable, a little bit more affordable, right? And so how do we make sure that we're investing in small businesses, good paying, family sustaining jobs in every corner of our state, even union jobs, but also fully funding our public school systems to make sure that our children are ready for the opportunities that are not only available today, but making sure that they're available and ready for the skills and the jobs that's going to be coming tomorrow and in our future. How do we make sure that all of our brothers and sisters all across this state, you know, continue to have affordable and accessible access to healthcare whenever and wherever they need it? And these are the issues that we have been working on here in Milwaukee County. These aren't Democratic issues. These aren't Republican issues. These are issues that people care about in the state of Wisconsin. And I've been delivering on those things here in Milwaukee County, and I plan on doing the same as the next governor.
Stick around, because in the next hour, I'll be playing another selection from the interview with Maggie Dawn and David Crowley, who's running for governor of Wisconsin in 2026. If you want to listen to the entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I told you I was going to introduce you to two individuals running for office in Wisconsin in 2026. The first being David Crowley, the Milwaukee County executive who has thrown his hat in the ring for the governorship. And now I want to focus on Sarah Harrison. She announced her candidacy for State Senate District No. 5, which includes a great deal of southeastern Wisconsin. She stopped by Matt and Air on Air to talk to Jane and me about how she got into politics and how it wasn't so much about ambition and it was more about a calling to serve.
I am a mother of two lovely people. I am also a former corporate drone. I worked for 20 years in the logistics space, and really that I feel that makes me a professional problem solver, and that's what we need in politics these days.
Absolutely.
And exciting news, as of this fall, I am also a college instructor. I'm going to be teaching continuing education at UW-Milwaukee.
Great.
I've always been a data geek, and they have tapped me to teach Excel. So
that's wonderful.
Tell me more.
Well, let's see. How much time do you have?
Not much. So, when it comes to like state Senate, or state assembly, you know, these aren't Congress, Senate. This isn't governor. This isn't president. This is a very on the grounds representative position. Right. Why this one? Why now? And just to be clear, state Senate of District 5 is Brookfield, And what else? Is it just Brookfield, or can you describe that district?
No. They make it really fun to describe these districts. So it's all of Brookfield, all of Elm Grove, all of Pewaukee, most of West Allis, most of Wauwatosa, a little tiny slice of Waukesha, and a little tiny slice of Milwaukee. So it's three assembly districts, District 13, 14, 15.
Okay.
And put together, it's Senate District 5. And this is the first time that we're running this district under this map. The last time there was an election was under the old map. So it's a very exciting time. Being the numbers geek, of course, I looked at the assembly results from the last time. Yeah. I ran in Assembly District 15 last time. And when I stack up those three districts, it was 50.1% Dem. So flippable, but not a given by any means.
And you've got a lot. That's a lot of ground to cover. You have a lot of ground to cover.
It is indeed. Yeah. I do have the benefit of, I guess, having run for assembly a couple of times, and we beat the maps both times. I ran for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's former seat, which at that time was what was District 13. So it was kind of the north half of Brookfield, Elm Grove, a little bit of Wauwatosa. And that was expected to be around 41% Dem, and we brought in 44. So we beat it. And then I got drawn into a really challenging district last time that was 36% Dem. Like, you guys, I really considered dropping out when they decided.
I bet.
And we brought in 41% in a district that was supposed to be 36. So if you get out there and you talk to people and knock the doors, I've been knocking doors since I was 19, only decided to get involved in running once my kids went to talk to the Waukesha school board. They were not heard. And so I ran for that school board. Came within 1% in a 60% conservative district. I promise it won't be all stats. I'll stop with all the stats.
But I think it's really important, Sarah, that you didn't win the first time. You keep trying. And I think a lot of folks who are considering politics is like, well, I'm going to do, you know, one and done. That's not necessarily how it works. It takes a lot of time, and just to build up some name recognition takes a long time.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not trying not to be funny here, but that just reminds me of Abraham Lincoln. Lost, and then look at what he did with the world.
Yeah.
But
I'm not running for president, Greg. I'm not doing that. Sorry. I don't have enough felonies.
I wouldn't. Oh, that's true. Yeah, you don't qualify. You don't like golf that much. And so the question I have for you is kind of like, it takes two parts of what you just said. So, you know, that is something we hear from a lot of candidates, is that the knocking on the door, the going to the events, talking to the people, I mean, really getting down and discussing what connects us and what do we look for in a representative and in our states. What are you telling? So when you go to the doors, this is a two-part question. What are you telling people? What do you want? Because you live there. So your campaign goals are to do what? You want to achieve and create for your district on top of what are you hearing from the people?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing both on doors and at events, and we're doing these community walk and talk events, which have been really fun. What I'm hearing is people are frankly pretty pissed off right now about kind of everything, but a lot of it comes down to economics. People are seeing inflation. They're seeing the cost of healthcare, childcare. I have my youngest just started at UW-Madison. He's in the Badger band. Yeah, go Badgers. And 2 weeks before school started, we got this letter saying, oh, by the way, tuition's going up. And we're like, oh no, it was already high enough. So people are feeling the crunch. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the economy, stupid. That's the bottom line for folks. And of course, there are other things that are important, but if you can't afford your cost of living expenses, everything else becomes less and less of a priority.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm a single mom, small business owner with a mortgage. Like, believe me when I say I feel that pain just as much, as the folks I'm talking to.
You're going to want to stick around, because at 8:22, I will be playing more of our interview with Sarah Harrison, who's running for state Senate here in Wisconsin for District 5. If you want to listen to the entire episode, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Aaron Air, and you can download the episode directly to your device. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I played for you a small clip of Maggie Dawn's interview with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley as he spoke about his candidacy for governor next year here in Wisconsin. And now I would like to play for you another selection from that discussion as Mr. Crowley talks about what you can expect from his campaign and what he will bring to the office if elected.
David, I want to get into, you've talked about a lot of the things which I was very fortunate enough to bear witness to, the accomplishments of your time as county executive for Milwaukee County. As you noted, Milwaukee County is one-sixth of the state's population. You've managed a $1.4 billion budget. You've gone through enormous challenges as a county executive. But you came from the state legislature. You were there for 7 years. And so you, my friend, have the perspective, a thing that I talk about all the time, especially when I talk to brand new legislators, whether that's in a local government or state government. Yeah. Hey, figure out how the budgets work. Figure out how the different departments work. Who are the experts within these different agencies that you can call? Figure it out. Ask questions. Know what a state government does versus a local government versus yes. the feds, and how that all, where those overlaps are, how those grant yeah. programs work, all that kind of stuff. You've sat in both seats. Tell us what the difference is and why it is so important to voters, whether they plan to vote for a Republican, a Democrat, or Daffy Duck, why yeah. it is critical for voters to be asking themselves and the candidates, do you have the requisite experience to run an organization that is as big and unwieldy as the state of Wisconsin?
That's a great question. And, you know, I'll try to answer with the limited time frame that we have. But one thing that I learned being in the state capitol for 7 years is that, you know, in the state legislature, a lot of folks make a lot of decisions that affect folks on the ground at the local level, at city, towns and villages, school boards, our public school systems. And they may not actually understand what the impact is. Right. And so, you know, I remember, you know, becoming a state representative, I had a staff of about 3. And when I became the Milwaukee County executive, now I have a staff of about 3,800, 4,000 people. And there is a level of imposter syndrome that you can have when you think about becoming a CEO at a young age, managing so many folks. And I would say one of the first things that I did was something that most elected officials don't do. And I went and received some business coaching to have a better understanding of the questions that I should be asking. You know, what are some of my own limitations that I'm putting over myself and understanding what my strengths and weaknesses are. But more importantly, you know, as a CEO, you have to know how to put a team together. And when you think about who's going to be the next governor, you have to make sure that they're putting people in place who not only understands what each department does, but the impact that they make on those that we serve and the indirect impacts that we may make that things can have from policy decisions that happen through the legislature. And so for me, having that balance of both gives me a wide view of exactly what is at stake, what has been at stake, and what more we need to do as a state to make sure that local units of government can continue to deliver for the people that they represent, and making sure that the state government is not abdicating their role, their responsibility, because a lot of the times when we look at it, it's been the state who's been defunding, right? We see so many communities who have had to go to referendum just to make sure that their public school systems are actually funded. And they're not even fully funded to the capacity that they need to be funded at. And that's because the state lost its way. And so we need a governor who understands the struggle, who understands how to get things done in the legislature, but also who knows how to bring people to the table and allow their voices to lean towards the solutions that we need to find.
A couple things there that I think speak volumes about who you are as a man and who you are as a leader, David. And the first is that you knew that you needed some coaching to be the best leader that you could be, to have some sight lines and some personal insight about what you might not be the best at, but what your strengths are, how to overcome, how to ask for people to help you with the things that are your weaknesses. Boy, if every elected official in every office, no matter how small or powerful, had that same commitment to humbly knowing yourself in a way that allows you to serve, to be a public servant in the best way possible, we would be as a country in a far better situation than we are today. The second thing that you talked about, David, was having an actual understanding how legislation impacts people, what the results are. And I think that's really critical. It's been too many times for me to count when I've talked with a legislator about a legislative proposal and I'm trying to explain to them that their desired outcome will not occur from the legislation that they're proposing because it's not how the system works or the incentives are wrong. And you having been on both sides of that discussion and knowing how those systems or how legislation has to be implemented in the executive branch of government. Yeah. Again, I wish that everyone running for an executive branch government position, and you rightly call them CEOs, had that experience as well. David, we've got about 30 seconds. Closing thoughts to your voters out there in 2026.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Maggie, for this opportunity. And I want folks to visit my website, CrowleyForWI.com. Sign up, donate, volunteer, become a part of this movement. I am looking to be the governor for all of us. So does it matter what's behind your name, Democrat, Independent, or Republican? The parties aren't working for you, but I will.
As I mentioned earlier, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for The Maggie Dawn Show, and download the episode directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around, because after the top of the hour news, Pat welcomes Chad Holmes with stories from Wausau, and at 8:35, political consultant Joe Sapecki. So stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Today, I'm introducing you to some of the people running for office in 2026 in the state of Wisconsin. And first, it was David Crowley, the Milwaukee County Executive, running for governor. And now I'd like to play for you part two of our interview with Sarah Harrison, who's running for Wisconsin State Senate for District 5. She stopped by Matt and Air on Air to talk about what she's hearing from the constituency, and no matter where it's at, the doors, at events, we all seem to want the same thing from our leaders.
Sarah, we wanted to come back and just ask you about, we heard a little bit about your door knocking and a lot of time that you spend talking face to face with people, which is really the way to do it. What are you hearing about that from people that is not getting done, that they would like to see actually get done?
Yeah. Well, they would love to see our schools fully funded. That's an issue we've been fighting for a long time. And it's one issue that you definitely hear from people on either side of the aisle saying, you know, teachers shouldn't be out there buying school supplies. Why am I having to do a fundraiser every week? This week I'm selling pretzels, and then next week I'm selling popcorn. And there's an awful lot of pressure there. And what's really scary about going to like a fundraising type of model is that those folks who are in the lower income areas really suffer. It's awfully difficult for them to bring in money from the community because they don't have as much, spare money in that community. Mm-hmm. Really hearing that the costs need to be under control. I talked with a woman the other day who said her daughter is expecting and got put on a wait list right away for a daycare. And they said, well, hopefully we'll have a spot for you, you know, in the first 6 to 9 months after you give birth to the baby. And she's like, oh, what do I do until then? Yeah. And even once they do get in, it's going to cost almost as much as their mortgage
That's
payment.
Just crazy.
We have all sorts of things to sort through there, and people are feeling the pain for sure.
I think it's really interesting though, because I think there might be a misconception that people on the right hate public schools. That's not necessarily the case. There might be support for alternatives to for charter schools and things like that. But I think, again, most people like their particular public school. It's right. That public school that's a problem, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You see that all the time. It's funny because it's like NIMBYism on school, you know.
Right.
No, public schools are a problem, but not my public school.
I love
great.
My school. My kids' teachers are great.
It's the opposite. It's please in my backyard. Please in my backyard.
Yes, in my backyard. NIMBYs. Yeah, for sure. And we know that a strong public school system is not only good, of course, for the kids and the parents, but it's good for society as we move on and these kids go on and, you know, go to a trade school, go to a college, go right into the workforce. We want them to be well prepared and to understand, the facts and how to put together numbers and, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, all that kind of stuff. But you also want them to have an idea of the society and some of the civics and how our system works so that they can be full participants. And that's really an important part to having a successful society.
And we talked about this too while Jane was away on vacation, and that, you know, the GOP in Madison is always really quick to pat themselves on the shoulder for giving any money to education, even though they've suffocated K through 12 for a long, long time. And I went last year to my ballot and voted yes on an operational referendum for schooling in Kenosha, which, by the way, was one of the few that failed. But I don't have children. But
yeah,
I understand the importance of a strong public school education. I understand that if they're not going to do it and we have to, that's our burden to handle. And I said yes, because as you just put it wonderfully, Sarah, it's not about whether or not I have kids. It's whether or not I want to live in a community and an economy which fosters good education for young people to then to grow up to be contributors and make it better for me, maybe. I don't know. But I see this not as you're raising my property taxes. I see it as we're investing in our schools. And that's more important than, say, the few hundred dollars I have to pay more, which it hits, but I can afford it. Thankfully, but to me, that is not a tough decision to make, but it failed because people are tired of having to foot the bill when Madison's doing nothing.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm running for office. I'm just kidding.
All right.
No, I'm not.
Let's be co-workers, Greg.
No, you don't want that. Oh God. I'm so frowny
all
the time.
Later. I'll there get the scoop.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We got about a minute and a half left, Sarah. Any final thoughts that you want to share before we have to move on here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love getting out in the community. I love talking to people. I am honored to have the opportunity to earn their vote. I show up, I listen, and we've seen that Rob Hutton does not show up. He doesn't show up for our schools, our workers, our rights. We need someone new, and I'm ready to step in and fight for the people of District 5.
Our thanks to David Crowley and Sarah Harrison for stopping by Civic Media to talk to us about their campaigns in 2026. If you'd like to hear either of those interviews, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Looking for David Crowley? Go to Maggie Dawn. Looking for Sarah Harrison? Go to Matt and Air on Air. There you can download those episodes directly to your device and listen to them anytime, anywhere. If you'd like to find out more about your voter registration status, go to myvote.wi.gov. Put in your information and you can find out there if you need to register, re-register, or where you vote. You can also find out who represents you, from the president down to dog catcher, if you still vote for them. Stick around, because after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and me, Greg Bach. And today we welcome Jim Santel and J.R. Radcliffe. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Thursday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.